podcast today. Oh no, welcome to the Timber Sick podcast. Today we've got that is Carly. Welcome on, Carly.
Hello, hi.
Hello, so like, did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah, it's a bit weird for me because I kind of get to do Yule and Christmas is more for my family, really. So we don't like go all out. But no, it was lovely. It was a nice chilled one. Yeah, it was way too much alcohol and too much confusion of that period between Christmas and New Year. Like, what day is it? Where am I?
I think everyone's had that sort of time lapse thinking, what day is it? What
to do? Who am I?
So today we're going to talk about paranormal stuff and witches, because you are a witch.
I am a witch.
In the nicest sense of the term.
In the nicest sense of the term, yes. Yes, I am, yes.
But you're a white witch.
Yeah, so I only follow and do the good stuff. I only put the good stuff out there. And I know there are grey witches, and obviously all witches, you kind of honour
grey witch,
the good and the bad, basically.
A grey witch is that's in between a good and a bad.
Yeah, I think there is an element of that anyway in witchcraft, because we kind of honour, as with nature, you know, you have like the good and bad that occurs. But I probably class myself more as a white witch. I'm quite positive and, yeah, and you know, I don't do anything too iffy on the witch
too
spectrum.
Iffy.
Too iffy, yeah. I like very much believe in karma, and I know some witches like to go in the old sort of hexes or pushing back something that someone's done to them, but I'm a little bit more just, you know, live and let live and let that catch up with them, if that makes sense. So yeah, I'm quite careful on that front, but I also respect a lot of witches that are grey, and they tie that in with, you know, kind of nature being good and bad, and yeah. But I like to see myself as a good witch, like Glinda from The Wizard of Oz. Yes.
Right. Just for a footnote, I did have someone on my podcast that sold the soul to the devil, apparently, and she did win £4 million off a £10 scratch card.
I heard.
And now she's dead.
Yeah, I was fascinated by that episode. Also because I honour one of the deities that I do a lot of work with is Hecate, and she is tied in, and like the crossroads are really important in regards to her symbolism. But yeah, that was I liked that episode, and I know like you touched on like Robert Johnson, you know, he supposedly sold his soul to the devil on the crossroads, and yeah. All of that is fascinating to me. And like also like the ley line stuff. I don't know if you were into all of that. I know you're like into all the paranormal stuff, but anything like that, I'm obsessed. I'm all over it.
Yeah, and like they do say if like something falls on a ley line, strange things are meant to happen. And also if there's a lot of water nearby, water seems to be a thing as well for like paranormal occurrences.
Yeah, I really want to go to, I mean, we've got where I live, there's Pluckley, which is on like a ton of ley lines. It's meant to be one of the most haunted town, like places in England. And that's pretty fascinating. But there's also a place called, I always bang on about it, I'm a little bit too scared to go, and I do want to go, the Ancient Rams Inn. And I think it's actually in a place called Wootton. I can't remember, but yeah, anyway, that's on ley lines, and that's just meant to be like fascinating. There's like a ghost of a witch there, and tons and tons and tons of stuff that happens as a result of it being on this ley line. So yeah, I'm all over all of that stuff.
Well, where I come from, we've got a village, it's called Laceby, and they burnt a witch there in about 1500s.
Okay, yes.
And like that's in the records. I'm just trying to find out this Wootton.
Actually my surname. That's how I always remember it. I think it, I don't know, I want to say it's like in, I don't want to say like Shropshire, but yeah, absolutely fascinating. They've got apparently like an incubus. There's meant to be a ghost of a witch there. It's been all over, like, all the usuals, like, most haunted and all of that. But honestly, like, I've watched a lot of, back in the day, like, we all did, watch loads of the most haunted and, you know, paranormal programs, and that's featured quite heavily on those. But yeah, it just looks so scary. Just even the look of it is really fascinating.
Well, you should go.
Yeah, I want to do. They do this ghost tour, and I've been saying about it to one of my friends, but they like boot you out at 3 a.m. and I just think, I imagine going there and like, we're just going to kick you out of the witching hour. We're like, off you go.
You don't want
in the middle of a town, in the middle of nowhere, we're just going to boot you out at 3 a.m. You've probably just been attacked by an incubus, but it's fine.
That's a basically werewolf in London.
Yeah, just like there's some little back end town and you're just kind of, bye. But next year, that definitely is up there on my list of things that I want to do, like getting out to, I'd like to go to like where the Pendle Witch Trials occurred. That's meant to be really creepy. But yeah, there's a few places that I know you're into all of that. I really want to get along to and see what they're like.
So what made you become a witch? Or, well, what sort of made you get into like sort of the side of witchcraft?
White witchy stuff.
Yeah.
It was always there. When I was a kid, I was just obsessed with witch stuff. And I think as I got older, I got given some tarot cards when I was really young. And it was just always something I was fascinated in. And I think you're always meant to kind of grow out of some of that stuff, you know, when you're a kid, like, I want to be an astronaut. And I just never did. And then when you get older, I think that you sort of push a lot of stuff out and just think, oh, that's not cool. And, you know, I think you just sort of, I put it to one side for a bit, but I was always into tarot cards and I always had really weird dreams. I'm a real empath, and I always feel, this is where I go a bit woo-woo, but I always feel really attuned to people and dreams, and, you know, like, just, I kind of used to numb it a lot when I was younger, like, just used to sort of, you know, like, being on the party scene and drink and drugs and all of that, but I'd always come back to it, and yeah, it just sort of started out with tarot cards. My mum's amazing. She's a bit of a green witch. And I think it was always sort of there with that.
Green witch.
So that's probably more what I class myself as. So it's more like honouring nature, working with plants, growing. Like, my mum's always been been a head gardener. And she does like moon gardening. So she like plants in accordance to the moon cycles. Right. And I think that I just always saw that, and I always used to see her using things from the garden. And so I class myself as a green witch, basically. So she's always had that element. It's always been there. And my brother's like a tarot teacher. So I think we both got the
spell. I did hear the podcast with them, like your brother on talking about tarot cards.
Yeah, like, I think on surface value, like, people don't really think that we're quite out there and woo-woo. Like, my brother's a music producer, and he's, like, into, like, he does, like, house and, you know, stuff like that. And then, obviously, I'm kind of, I just don't think we look like we're as woo-woo and weird as we are. But, yeah, it was always there. And, obviously, my brother, like, kind of going off and doing the stuff that he's done spirituality-wise. You can kind of see how that's played a part in both of us growing up. But for me, honestly, like, I think it was a lot to do with, as I got older and sort of mental health wise, like, this is getting a bit deep, but I just think that I just kept getting these, like, oh, I'm just going to sound completely nuts now, but I just kept getting those messages, like, go back and read your witch books, keep reading, or, you know, I just kept literally just threw myself into just studying the craft. And I just kind of felt that just helped me, because I felt that I got to understand a lot about life in terms of, you know, I think nowadays there's this whole spiritual movement of like, oh, you know, law of attraction, positivity, and, you know, always think happy thoughts. But I think with witchcraft, there is this element of like, there's good and bad. Like, you've got to honor the bad stuff that happens. It's not just putting a plaster over it all and, you know, manifesting and just kind of forgetting that bad shit happens. It is just working and understanding that shit does happen, basically. And it just made me feel, I just never really, it was a time that I actually felt aligned with something, and I just kind of understood a lot more about the world. And yeah, I suppose it just made me feel in line with something. I don't know if that really explains anything, but, and then it just became an obsession, just completely became an obsession. I felt like it was where I was meant to be. I finally felt that just was a part of me, really. And I think I've always felt like that I was witchy. I was always drawn to people, like friends that I've had over the years, I've met randomly like loads of witches. And I think that's because, you know, whatever you show an interest in, then that's where things go, that's where you're attracted to, that's where you end up. But it's got high, like much more involved the last couple, like the last sort of 5 years, I'd say, that I've really gone to town and being a weird witch. Yeah.
Have you ever been attracted to the dark side of witchcraft, like black magic?
I'm fascinated about it, but I haven't, honestly, no, I haven't. I mean, I'm actually going to do some of my podcasts soon because I am interested in it. But no, I know that sounds really boring, but I've always kind of honoured the good stuff. But I do want to do more about it. So I think I mentioned that on one of the last episodes. So yeah, I know you've got some books and you're quite interested in some of that stuff as well. But yeah, I do want to look into more and do more on the show.
Yeah, it's freaky side of it, but I don't know. I mean, do you believe it like could work if like someone put a spell on someone, a hex, or sell the soul to the devil? Do you think it's real, or do you think it's more you sort of make your own luck sort of thing, sort of like a self-fulfilling prophecy sort of style thing?
I think that what you put out there, yeah, you do. It's like where attention, where, you know, energy flows, things go, if that makes sense. So yeah, I do. But I the thing is, I work with the deities as well. So I do think that I do get a little bit of a helping hand at times. I know that sounds out there, but I generally think that whatever you put energy into, you get some help back, be it from the universe or whatever you're working with. I definitely do think in terms of like the hex stuff and so on. Yeah, I definitely think there's something to that. I just think it's all about energy. It is all about energy. So if you put out bad,
you get bad back.
You will get bad back, definitely. It's like anything. If you think of people that are, you know, let's talk about people that are like criminal minded. If you are putting out bad, like how many people come to a really sticky end because that's what they've been into? It might be a complete coincidence what happens to them that is bad, but it's because that's what they're putting out at all times. So I just think it's literally all energy. And, you know, we're meant to be energy, aren't we? We're meant to be like, you know, stars. We're meant to be, I just think that, yeah.
The sound's going a bit in and out there.
Oh, better?
Better.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. Sorry, I didn't really move anything. Yeah, I just, but then I think I've had years of working with energy and trying to manifest and actually manifesting stuff. And that came from a period of being really like rock bottom. So I kind of feel like I've had these years and years of seeing it working out for me.
So alongside the witch stuff, do you research the paranormal as well? Or is it just mainly witchy stuff you do?
Well, I was always obsessed in the paranormal. Like, I've come from a family that's had a lot of ghostly things happening to them. And yeah, that has always been an obsession, the paranormal stuff as part of it. And I also used to be part of a circle. So I used to go and they did, you know, like, well, it's not something I dabble in now, but a lot of the Ouija board stuff and table tipping and things like that. So yeah, it's always been a fascination.
Table tipping and things like that, I believe, and so do some people in the paranormal, parapsychologists and that, believe it's just the Ida motor response, I think I pronounced that right, it's where it comes from your own self. I think Michael Faraday, the scientist, well, I don't think, I know, Michael Faraday did a, I'm sure it's Michael Faraday, is it? I'm sure. Let me double check that. He did an experiment with the like table tip, these table tippers. And like what he did was basically got some sort of like reeds, put them on top of the table. Then he got a plane of glass, put that on top of the reeds. And he said to the people who were table tipping, do it as you normally do. But if the table moves, it's the spirits.
Yeah.
And just the glass that moves, it's like you guys doing it yourselves. And it was all in agreement. And lo and behold, it was just the glass that moved. The table didn't move. It's like sort of like the glass was doing what the table would have done, moving all the way from side to side, up and down and that. And when they tried to replicate it with just the table, they couldn't move the table anymore because they knew in like sort of their subconscious, well, in their conscious, that they was doing it themselves and they couldn't do the table tipping anymore.
Yeah, it's such a head fuck, basically. There was so much adrenaline going on watching it, and you know, we had like they do it with a little stool, and I kid you not, like it's such a trip, like I can't still get my head around it. I used to see things like that happen so much, but I think in the moment your adrenaline's going, you're so freaked out, like I can never really figure out. And the thing is, the guy that did it, he's a really good friend of mine. Like, and he's like a really famous psychic now. He's over in Dubai and he works with a lot of their, you know, elite and so on. But I still don't know, you know, what I saw. However, around that time of me getting involved in all of that, a lot of freaky stuff happened to me at home and things like that. So it really unnerved me. I feel like I didn't kind of ground myself properly. I was letting way too much in as a result of getting involved in all of that. But I saw some really freaky shit. And I just think when you see something, I don't know if you agree the same, but your mind tries to rationalize it so much that you can never really figure it out. I think when people see ghosts, like we do this thing of like rationalizing it, so we never really know what we did really see, because it's such a split second encounter a lot of the time.
It was 1852 Faraday was fascinated by a new craze of table tipping. So if people want to Google that, they'll like be able to find a lot more about it. So have you done a Ouija board, you say, before?
Yeah, I did. I used to do it as part of the circle that I was in. But I mean, I don't know, on the podcast now, I'm always kind of hesitant about anything like that. Generally, just because I had things that kind of followed me about stuff that happened to me afterwards. So I'm really, you know, I know that is a lot of witches. They do, like, obviously we do a lot of divination work. So we work with, like, you know, we work with tarot cards, oracle cards. I know that's not as, that's not up there with the Ouija stuff, but you know, like you've got like the pendulums and so on. But I don't really get involved in any of that. I think it's a little bit just honouring. I know it's energy, and I say this all the time. It started out as a parlor game. You know, it was for like back in, oh God, I want to say like the, oh, I can't remember what decade it was, but it started out as a parlor game. It was all innocent. It was used as, you know, for first dates and so on, where you, you know, use the energy between the two people on the date as the game, like, and all these sort of nervous energy that they'd have, they kind of put into the what was it called, the plectrum, I can't remember the name of the little
planchet,
that's it. So they put all the energy into that, and so it's like completely innocent. But yeah, I don't touch anything like that now, not at all. I mean, I'm always doing divination and other stuff, but yeah, not so much the Ouija. And I know a lot of witches do that as a regular part of their divination as well.
I mean, it's dated back around China, I think it was like 1100 AD.
Yeah.
And it can date back to. But the thing about the Ouija board is you can never ask it a question that you don't know.
Yeah, and it's so like,
it can come out in your subconscious. I mean, I did an experiment once with, I got five people to write a question and then put it in an envelope. Then I put that envelope in another envelope and like wrapped it all up. So I didn't know what the question was. We put it on the Ouija board and asked the Ouija board, we've got a question on here, can you answer it? But on the fifth time, it spelled out causeway, but it missed the E out. And the question on the board was, well, the question in the envelope on the board was, what's the eighth wonder of the world? Well, there's only seven wonders of the world, but it it's spelled out Causeway, and Causeway is the Giant's Causeway in Ireland, isn't it?
Okay.
So that's the only strange thing. But one of the people that was using it was a bit of a clairvoyant, so whether she picked up on that. But there's a good book by Stoke Hunt called Ouija. I think I mentioned it to you before, that explains the Ouija board from both sides. And there was one case that they were studying was where he started speaking in French, and no one around the Ouija board spoke French. But it turned out...
Yes. I've heard about that. Yeah, I don't know if it was you on your show, or I know I've come across this, yeah.
I think I have mentioned it, and like, apparently one of them was a cleaner for this businessman, and he did a lot of business in French, so she subconsciously picked up on it. And
that's
it came
right.
Out on like the Ouija board. I mean, the only dangerous thing about using the Ouija board, in my view, is that it can unlock your subconscious, which can lead to maybe telekinesis, which is poltergeist, because like the thing poltergeist is comes from the person. It's not a separate entity. It comes from the person, because in a lot of hauntings, if you take, because like poltergeist, it normally centres around one person. So if you take that person out of the haunted house, everything stops. You bring them back and it continues, but it only lasts for about 6 months, maybe a couple of years at very, very most, but that's rare for it to happen. But it's always centralized around that one person, and things that happens, you can link it to their emotional state at the time. So like, maybe there was a case that these like American paranormal investigators was investigating, and it kept turning the taps on, and like water pipes were bursting. But it turns out the guy was a swimmer, and his mum and dad were really pushing him to be the swimming team, like really pushing him. And he was a bit emotional at the time. He didn't know how to release it. And that's how I think it happens. People who can't emotionally release, like cry, shout or anything, like hold it in, and they release it in other ways.
Because it's all energy. Yeah.
So if you unlock your subconscious while using the Ouija board, things can happen. So it's all, I'm very sceptical when people say, well, we finish using the Ouija board, then the classic old one is the glass shot across the room and smashed on the wall. I hear that a lot.
yeah. And you know what? You're exactly the same train of thought as my brother, because I'm very much like, you know, a bit of a romanticist. I like to look into all the more kind of woo-woo side of things. However, my brother, and you listen to the tarot episode, he's very much a rationalist. He's like, nope, I literally think like when you do the tarot, it's just your subconscious telling you what you don't want to hear, and that's it. He's literally the same train of thought. Whereas me, obviously, you know, I work more with the deities. I've got different beliefs on that front. So we kind of differ on that respect. I'm a little bit more, I like to idealise that it could be other stuff, basically. I still don't think that with tarot, though. I know a good part of it is the subconscious, but I still believe that there's some, you know, external influence, be it ancestors or, you know, I don't know. I don't necessarily go into like the kind of, I'd like to believe in angels and that side of things, but I do always like to think that you get a little bit of a helping hand, be it the universe or ancestors or angels. I'm open to all of that side of interpretation on it.
Yeah, what's your view on psychics?
Mixed, because I think that the thing is, I see a lady who I've seen very infrequently, but over a course of about the last 7 years, and she's amazing. She and I've seen obviously quite a few. She's from she runs it out of a place called the House of Angels, and I kid you not, she literally told me word for word conversations that I'd had with, you know, literally like with one other person in a car. And she's rambled off the conversation that I've had. It's only like two or three lines, but enough for me to go, what the fuck? Like, there was only one other person there. That was that long ago. She's given, you know, honestly, like the amount of information that she's given me. And even like, so my granddad comes through, and I've literally had conversations through her with him. And I've always gone to psychics as a massive skeptic. I'm very perceptive. I'm good at, I read people quite well. I've seen some terrible psychics, but even down to spelling. So my granddad's called was called Dennis, but it was really weird because it's like Dennis with one N. And just little things like she got all the variances. She got even people that came into my life that just names, like, it was so spot on. I know, like, everyone's going to say that to you, you know, like, oh yeah, they were so good. But literally, like, three A4 pages of her just going, yeah, that's going to happen, that's going to happen. You're going to meet that person. You had that conversation, you had that conversation. Unreal, like, just unreal. But then I've seen others and I'm like, no. And actually, I think it varies from person to person, because I've seen a psychic that a few times that other friends of mine have, and I'm always just like, yeah, they've raved about them, and I just always think that they're just looking for signs and picking up on stuff. And I think a lot of them do that. I think it's very cold, I'd say, just cold reading. Yeah. And I think if you're not into this sort of stuff, then, you know, like, loads of people I know, like, loads of friends of mine, they embrace my witchiness, but they have no interest in it. They're not interested in tarot. They're not interested in, you know, a small selection of people that I know. So if you had them go and see a psychic for the first time and they literally said, like, I don't know, you know, like, a couple of things that could be possible, I think they'd just go for it because they have no idea of how much in depth you can get.
I do think that if you go to see a psychic or a medium, your mind's already set in such a space as where you want to find something out. And I think a lot of mediums and psychics know this and they take advantage. I love that. A good book to read on a side note is Houdini, A Magician Among the Spirits. He spent 40 odd years of his life trying to find a proper medium.
And he
couldn't find one that he couldn't replicate. So, going back to the psychics and that, you're like already in a state of wanting to know something. So if they can exploit that through cold reading, which is basically, some people are really, really good at it, where like they'll memorize the most common things you'll leave around the house. You know, like, everyone knows an old person that's died. Old people have problems with the shoulders, elbows or knees.
Yes.
And as soon as they reel you in, that's it. And you're more liable to remember three good hits than 10 bad hits.
Yeah, but I think it's, if you are already in that space, I think you know what to look out for. Does that make sense? You know, I know what you're saying, definitely. I think once you immerse yourself in some sort of world, like for me, obviously, with the paranormal stuff, the psychic stuff, it's not as a witch now, don't get me wrong, I don't really go along those lines. My practice is much more working with nature, working with the moon, working with plants, herbs. I don't get into that stuff as much, but I was in that space for a long time and saw a lot of fake crap, basically, and just got really good at figuring out, and also kind of seeing like people that I was in the circle with who were desperate to get the gift themselves. Honestly, I think you can get really good at picking up on messages but I do believe there are a few people that are just born with some ability to speak to whoever. Like, I genuinely think, and I know that might sound really kind of, yeah, that would be great, but I do think that there are just a few people that have got this ability to see stuff and be linked to the art, you know, the dead or get those messages. I do think there's a really small pocket, not like the Derek Acora stuff. I'm not so sure about people like him. But yeah, I do. But then again, I think there's such a, you know, now there's so many people that want to get that. And I have none of that. I'm not going to lie. I have dreams. I have dreams and stuff happens. But then that's my subconscious, because I think I already know it's going to happen or it's coming up.
Yeah.
That's how I interpret the dream side. Again, same with tarot. It's never really wrong for me. But I think that's because my mind is so in tune with it now, because I'm so used to doing it. The more you get into any space or interest, then you just get so much better at it. However, I do just think that there are a few psychics that they've just got something that we haven't, and they're so few and far between.
tried to get one on like my podcast, but I've had no takers yet.
You'd have thought then and known that he's going to...
That's what everyone says. When I argue with people on Twitter, text is ambiguous. Come on my podcast. Then one of them said, no, I don't want to come on your podcast and get humiliated. And you try to humiliate me in front of all your followers. I'm like, I wouldn't do that.
No,
it's like a free speech podcast. And everyone's welcome on it, even though if I don't agree. But Psychics wants to come on. And I wish a psychic would, and we could do a reading live on the podcast, because I don't buy it when they say, oh, the spirits won't come because there's recorders there. That's bullshit. Spirits are going to come. So what do you think of things like EVP and these spirit boxes that have come out? Are you aware of the spirit
boxes? Oh, yeah, definitely. No, of course, I've seen loads of programs and stuff like that on. Oh, I don't know. I feel like it's it's like electricity, it's energy interference. I just think that can be so interfered with by our energy, if I'm honest.
Our energy.
I'd love to believe it all, though. I'd love to believe it all, because I'm fast. I watch all of that, but I don't know, because I know you do a bit of ghost hunting, don't you? So
I do, yeah. I went to a place called Skidbrook. Google it. Skidbrook, Lincolnshire.
You told me about it. I did. Yeah. I had a look at it. It looks really grim, scary. But amazing building, but dead scary, yeah.
I was in the graveyard with one of my friends, and we was walking around the graveyard, and I like to say crazy stuff to, scare people. And I said, what would you do if you found someone hanging in a tree?
Oh, God.
And she said, well, I'd probably call the police. And with that, I felt a really sort of itchy sunburn sort of on my arm. And I rolled my sleeve up and I had three scratches on my arm.
God, yeah,
But I'm sure I've said that in other podcasts.
No, that freaks me out. Yeah, honestly, it really does.
But before that, there was this baby crow. About 10 minutes before, there was this baby crow hopping around the church. And I thought, oh, it's crowing season, don't get too near, because I do know crows like to dive one in the head. So I stayed away, but I thought if I picked it up, knowing my luck, it would probably scratch my hand and scratch my arm or something. And with that, 10 minutes later, so I don't know if it was definitely one day when I went into the church, definitely didn't scratch my arm at all, because I went back the next day and everything that could scratch my arm was on the left hand side and this was on my right side. So these scratches just appeared, so I don't know if it was me subconsciously putting them on because I was thinking about the beard, or if it was some sort of energy. But three things come in threes because some I think it's a piss take against the Holy Trinity, God, Jesus.
Yeah.
Spirit. That's why three is the witching hour, the way three knots, things comes in threes.
I know you're you like to disprove a lot of these. Or see if it's actually real, but deep down, what's your take on it? When things like that happen, are you there's definitely something out there? Or are you still no, there's a perfectly rational reason for this?
I think there's something. There's got to be something, because so many people have seen things. Now, whether it's paranormal, paranormal just means outside of the realms of science. If it's ghostly or not, it's a different matter. Because, when people say, just for instance, if I went to a house, and someone used to say to me, we're having ghostly experiences, we used to ask them questions, because sometimes a normal noise in a haunted house will react to them thinking it's haunted.
But
we used to give them a diary and a pencil and a sort of a diary book thing and a pencil. And I say, when something happens, write down the time, the day, the weather and things like that. Because then at least if it's raining, and it always happens when it's raining, you would can think it might be something environmental in the house that's dripping the pipes.
Yeah,
it's electricity. It could be something to do with static and things like that. Because people say if it's a high energy, the environment can record and play it back at certain times, which is residual energy. So if someone sees Roman soldiers walking across the field, it's just they're not knowing they're doing that. It's just a recording in time. So I'm sure I heard it in one of your podcasts or Rob's podcasts, where when people see waiters or things like that, and it's just half the body walking across the floor, it's because the original building was where they are. So it's just a recording in time. That's why it's so important. No one ever did write in the diaries. They just fucking had to put it on the phone or didn't even bother. Said, oh, well, I remember. And I used to reiterate to them, it's really important because then we can narrow it down. Because if it happens, there's some sort of electrical storm and it plays it back. That's sort of like why obviously people use the EMF meters.
Yeah, and that was them.
I was going to say, just use a compass. Just use like a compass, get a compass, and like if something happens and the compass starts to move around and something paranormal happens, you can link it to. So I don't know, maybe it's maybe two dimensions are crossing over. When you die, you go to a different dimension. And for some reasons, then when them two dimensions cross over, you interact with each dimension. But that's where the electricity comes in, because it's certain times the electricity makes the dimension like sort of like a ripple. People think I'm going to be mad now and crazy saying that.
No, because we discussed that on my podcast, because we were saying my dad is an engineer and he worked in London in the city in the crypts, and there was a guy and he said that he saw a Roman legion walk through right in front of him, just a whole marched through, and he could only see them from about the shins up.
Yeah.
So obviously where London's been built up. And everyone thought he was completely nuts. And then, yeah, obviously other people from his same company saw the same thing. And we had that whole discussion on my podcast because I'd been to the pub in Pluckley, which is the one I was mentioning, the town on the ley lines near to me. And they had a repeat. They had this dog that just used to walk through the pub. And the thing is, it was solid form. So they always used to see, you know, they just used to see this solid form of a dog as if it was just a normal dog wandering through the pub. It'd get to a certain point and just disappear. And, you know, we were kind of having the argument, like, obviously with a Roman legion walking through, that's quite an energetic, that's quite a lot of emotion. You know, you might have fear, you might have pride, you might have any sort of emotion that would imprint on time. So what's the dog walking through the pub about, you know, like, because I always used to think it might be such an energetic kind of emotional time that it's like imprinted on time, so it repeats.
Yeah.
Then other things I'm like, yeah, but that's such a routine thing, like, you know. So like my mum used to see my mum and my dad used to see the ghost of the old owner of our old home in his garden. And he'd just be out there, like, they just used to see him in the garden, like, tending to the garden. So I think it's, like, either maybe, like, they're kind of, it could be an emotion. It could be, like, their happy place, like, they're in their flow. So that's imprinted on time. Or it could be something that's really kind of emotional, bad, like a horrible event that sort of the energy seeps into the replay of time. It's all so complicated.
Yeah, I mean, like, people do say they've seen themselves going inside their own house, which brings up again, maybe time is recorded in the environment and somehow it gets played back. But there's something, yeah. I didn't mean to tell you, there's something called infrasound. I don't know if you've ever, like, ever heard of it.
No.
It's where it's basically it's referred to as low frequency sound, but it's like if a fan spins at certain cycles per second or per minute, and it can resonate your eyeball, and then it can give you it can like make you see things out the corner of your eye, like things flick across like dark shadows. A scientist did an experiment in his laboratory for it, and he switched the fans on, and when the fans started going, he felt really uneasy, like something was there. He didn't feel good, and he started seeing black shadows flick around him. He switched the fans off and everything subsided. So there's that to take into account as well. So, I mean, like, if, like, you live near pylons where there's high electricity content, how does that affect you?
Because if
low viewable sound and vibrations can affect your eyeball.
Yeah.
There's things definitely. Like, I mean, there was another case I was reading about, and this couple kept feeling sick every time they looked out the windows. They kept smelling a foul smell. Lights were coming up from the ground. The electrics were blowing all the time. So this paranormal group went in, and if you said that to anyone else, you'd think there's something really happening. But it turned out the reason they were feeling sick, because the house wasn't built level, and the windows were a bit off kilter, so it would give the impression of feeling seasick. The smell was because they lived near a rubbish dump. The electrics weren't done properly, and basically the lights were the methane reacting with the lights. So it, and it wasn't anything paranormal at all, but people are all too quick to assume it's a ghost. And it's programs like The Most Haunted and things like that that haven't put it into good stead.
Oh, God, Most Haunted. Yeah, absolutely. It's our senses, isn't it? Anything can send them off kilter. And, you know, it's like if you don't have enough sleep, you know, you'll start thinking you see stuff. And it's so many factors. Like, it's so many to take into account. And you have to preempt all of that, of course, to, yeah, see if there's anything there.
I mean, you've got lucid dreaming where, like, you wake up in a dream and you know you're dreaming. You've got a waking dream where you think it's real, but you've actually was dreaming. You've got something, is it hypergonic? It's where, have you ever been falling asleep and, like, you think you've heard your name being shouted?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that freaks me out. I've had, yeah, but then there's also that belief, isn't there, that when they always say, and I'm always like, yeah, that you can often get messages from, like, literally in that state when you're going to sleep, or you might hear your name called out or something. You know, I've heard a few people say, oh yeah, I had this, you know, ghost of my granddad come through as I was just about to go to sleep. And you're like, but you're in that state, yeah, aren't you, where you're out of it. Like, I don't necessarily, yeah.
I mean, the good
thing
about lucid dreaming is that you can do a test. Well, you can't do a test. Well, I suppose you can, but it's called a reality check. So one of the easiest things to do a reality check is hold your hand out in front of your face and count your fingers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
Turn the background and count again 5. Now, if you're not dreaming, you'll always count 5 one side and 5 the next. But if you're dreaming, you'll never count 5. It'll be either 6 one side and 4 the next. Because I'm not sure on how it works, but your brain can't, like, relay. And also, if you read a passage of text, you'll never be able to read it fully.
Yeah.
And that's what... It's called a reality check. So, in the book I was reading, saying if a black dog is always in your dream, do your reality check. So every time in reality, when you're not dreaming and you see a dog or a black dog, do your reality check. Because your reality check in your waking life will automatically come into your dream life. So as soon as you know you're dreaming and do your reality check, you're awake in your dream and you know you're dreaming. I said that all wrong, but anyway, it's called a reality check.
I had a really bad, like, chest infection recently, and I had a few of those dreams where you're hallucinating a little bit, I think, when you're really ill. And I had some truly horrific dreams. Sorry, my sound's going a bit funny here. I had some truly horrific dreams. Like, we had
the sound's going.
Yeah. Oh. I don't know what better.
I think so. Testing.
Well, I'm hoping we can cut that bit out.
No, hey, it's all an editing. That's one thing about the podcast. We're
my mind is editing. Seriously editing, because it's like just me on it. So, by my poor brother as well, need I add to say. Yeah, so I had so many dreams recently of the, like, am I awake? Am I asleep? And you literally have that conversation, rationalizing it. But I will try and do that next time. So I've had quite a few dreams like that. Our cat died recently, unfortunately. And I had the most vivid dream ever of opening my window to let her in. And in this dream, literally going, oh shit, I need to ring the vets and say they've put the wrong cat down, because it's just turned up. It was just so out of it. It was so weird. But yeah, they're the worst. The worst. But I have a lot of, coming back to subconscious stuff, I have a lot of dreams of stuff that I obviously know is coming up or going to happen, or things that people are up to. And I'm like, I already dreamt that. I must have known deep down that was going to happen. So fascinating. You know, my brother and I talked about that on the tarot episode, that you have got to analyze your dreams. And, you know, I know he writes a dream journal. He literally wakes up, scores it down. I end up Googling in the middle of the night. And on my next episode, I'm going to be doing a lot about, because obviously with witchcraft, it's a lot of manifestation. Everything we do is, we've got so many tools linked to, you know, manifesting and getting and putting out there what we want and trying to solve things. And one of the main things they say is if you're casting or doing any sort of spell work or ritual work, like always assess your dreams around that ritual, which, you know, is fascinating. I love all of that.
I think dream diaries are a good idea, especially if you want to go more into the dream side, research your dreams and do lucid dreaming. I think a dream diary is a must because you can find patterns and like sort of things like that with my dreams. But I did try, I like can only keep it up for about 2 days, 3 days, because I wake up and I can't be arsed.
Yeah, I know. And I think, sorry, go on.
I was just saying, go like sort of if you try it halfway through the day, you just forget your dreams. So, sorry, go on. What was you saying?
I just think anything like any sort of analysis like that, like, you know, I mean, I'm journaling, dream journals. You're literally just tapping into more of your subconscious. You just are connecting more with yourself. And it has such a, it doesn't matter if you're witchy, if you're not spiritual, I think everybody. And also just as a method of dealing with, I mean, how many of us now suffer with like depression, anxiety? Like literally getting that out is just getting a load off of your chest, you know, just getting that all out. It is so helpful as your own kind of form of counselling or, you know, just mental health check, basically.
Yeah, I think, what was going on about dreams, weren't we? I had something really good then, and then something popped up about, like, my friend who took me out. I think a lot of it to do is with the subconscious, as of, like you say, and I think that's a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ghosts and things like that. I don't think it's always... It's so hard, and that's why I say to people, you must write a diary and ask questionnaires. Be like, because with a questionnaire, you like can guide or like a good guide of what the people like. Like, yeah. So if you're really into horror, things like this, they're going to be more susceptible to believe. Like, I mean, just, I mean, I went to one person's house and they said, oh, haven't you brought all your equipment then? And I thought, well, no, that's not how it works. And that's purely because things like Most Haunted are there with all these gizmos and that, and it's like that's not how it works.
It's
a serious thing, because if people are properly scared, you need to find out. But I mean, I've got a girl who comes on the podcast quite often called Zara. I don't know if you've listened to any of them podcasts.
Is she with the Ghost Hunt group?
No, Zara's the, she's been on about 3 or 4 times, and she's the one that this thing sort of follows her about.
Oh, yeah. I think I listened to one of the episodes. Yes. Yeah.
So, but that again, I mean, to me, that is weird. Because it's not just happening in one house. It's happening in a lot of places. And it's not just her that's experiencing it. It's all the family that are experiencing it.
I know you had another girl on the Ghost Hunter group podcast episode.
Oh, the Ghost Hunters.
Yeah, and she was saying about her mum who had done the Ouija board, and then really after that had some serious kind of mental health issues, and it was trying to decipher, was that always there? Was it linked to the Ouija board? I know she came on and discussed some of that, and that was quite interesting.
The subconscious. As soon as you're not subconscious, that's where it... Well, just say you do a Ouija board and a natural event happens, which you've not seen before, you're going to automatically link that to the Ouija board. Because everyone tells you Ouija board is bad. And I'm not saying they're good or bad. It's up to you if you want to do them or not. But I'm saying you shouldn't always link it. And I know it's hard.
Yeah.
But it's like if you watch a scary film and you go to bed at night and you hear banging, you'll be in that state of fear and scared. And you'll think, oh, no. What's that? Where it might just be like you've left the door open or like the pipes expanding. People don't realise, especially in cold weather and hot weather, concrete wood expands and contracts. If you're in a terraced house, you can maybe hear a banging from 3 doors down. If someone's cooking next door or smoking next door, you can smell the smoke, smell the cooking. This all comes in to people's mindsets and how they are.
Again, it's like what you put out there, I think, because the more that I was doing all of the stuff linked to the circle and I was seeing more stuff, and I'm still not sure if that's just my mind going berserk and coming up with stuff, or I'm just attracting stuff that's off and weird energy because you're involved in it. You know, you must think all those psychics and people that are involved in the ghost hunting stuff, they must literally chalk everything down, anything weird that happens, chalk it down to, oh, it's supernatural. Once you're in that realm, you know, you kind of get like immersed in it. And it's like when I go on, this really fucking annoys me. I go on to a lot of witchy forums and people will put things up and like... So I'm a little bit of a, you know, I do like to debunk some stuff, and they're like, oh, you know, found this dead bird this morning. What does this mean? And you're like, it's just a fucking dead bird. Yeah. You know, like not everything has got a symbol, like symbolism to it. Like it would be great for us to think that, but, you know, it doesn't. Like I think a lot of people get so involved in the signs and stuff like that. And, you know, sometimes it's just like, yeah, you're just unfortunate and seeing a few dead birds today or whatever. Like I think people go a little bit too far with yeah, sorry, that's more like the spiritual messages and some stuff like that. I do think some people go really silly with it.
Yeah, I used to go into these ghost places and I used to go in with an objective mindset, sort of put my beliefs at the side and go in looking at it from an open view, because that's the only way you can do it. Because if you're taking your own beliefs, it scuppers.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what, as witchy as I am, there's stuff that doesn't resound with me at all. Like I'm not, you know, like the whole number thing where people say like 1111 and all these numbers mean stuff, never got into that, never ever been aligned with that. Crystals, I love crystals. I wish, sorry, I'm going into more witchy stuff now, but I'm just kind of like giving you some stuff that a lot of people are really attuned to at the moment. It's like, I love crystals. I wish that, again, it's energy, isn't it? I wish I had some kind of belief in them. I want to, but I just don't feel any alignment or any, like, if I pick it up and just like, it's a stone. Like, and I really want to have that. And maybe if I work on that, I may have that. But then if you give me a set of tarot cards, I'm like, oh, bloody hell, I feel all the energy in those. It's so weird. Like, I suppose it's like anything, isn't it? But yeah, just kind of coming back to some of the witchy and the spiritual stuff. Yeah, I don't, it's all energy though. Again, it's like just what you resound with, I suppose. The paranormal stuff, yeah, I did that for quite a long time. I was really fascinated with it. But I just think, you know, I don't know. I think I definitely think stuff is out there, but I think that the mind is so good at rationalizing stuff. I used to see so many things, but there would be this part of my brain that would almost forget it redesign what happened so that it made sense. Does that make sense? Like when I try to recall some weird shit that happens, it just always got a little bit, because the old adrenaline's going, and I could never really figure it out. I think my brain just likes to just literally figure everything out and rationalize it, and it never really sat with me well.
That's why you should always write things down.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's like when you go to any good psychics, they'll always write it down for you so you can kind of take it away. I've been to some psychics and at the time, in the moment, like you were saying, where you're so open and receptive to it, in that reading, I've been like, oh my God, this, you know, honestly, this is like when I first started going to see psychics. So you'd be there, you'd be in the moment, it would feel all witchy and weird and amazing, and, you know, you're listening to them, and then they give you this bit of paper, and when you actually read what they've given you, you're like, oh no, that's bullshit. But you're in the moment, like the whole atmosphere's there. Yeah, they're playing into all of it. So that kind of written, you know, if ever you go and see a psychic, like make sure they give you it written down or a recording or whatever. Because guaranteed when you come out of it, you'll rationalize it, and with that proof, yeah, you won't, because your mind just like creates this whole, you're in a new setting, there's someone telling you all the things you want to hear, the brain gets carried away, and actually, some people say that your brain invents stuff that it wants to hear.
Like hypnotherapy, I think it's called confabulation, is it?
Yeah, because people come out of a reading, they're like, oh my god, she said I'm gonna marry so and so, and then you play back the recording, they're like, no, they said you're gonna go on a few dates or whatever, but your brain just wants to carry it off and run away with it. And yeah,
I like being going on the psychic thing again. If I'm like, they say, oh, if I'm like, you go to a psychic, there's a reason you're going to a psychic. You, I'm like, sort of, bless you me, and I like want to go there for like sort of research. I'm not saying it's just me who does that, but if
the
majority of people go, it's either they've lost someone or maybe they want to know something. Now if they get you in an emotional state where you're crying and that, you're very vulnerable, whether they exploit you knowingly or unknowingly,
that's
where the dangerous is, because like you're in an emotional state and you'll believe it because you want to believe it. You want to believe your dead relative or your dead partner, your dead friend is there with you coming back to see you. And it's, I don't know, I mean, I think if you're in a high emotional state, I would suggest to anyone not to go to see them, because it's not good for you.
Do you know what else they do? I'm fine with awkward moments. Like, I can embrace an awkward moment. So I've gone to psychics and, you know, when they ask you, like, does that mean anything to you? I'm the queen of just going, nope, not at all. You know, you have to go in and do that, because I think a lot of people feel really uncomfortable with just saying that doesn't mean anything, or and I think that you know, we are kind of people pleasers by default, so a lot of people go into readings and they're given stuff, and I've even seen it at big mass readings, you know, when you go and there's like a big group of people and there's someone at the front of the stage, people don't want to just go, that means nothing to me, I don't know who Frank is or whatever.
Well, you're going to get many hits if you're talking to 100 people plus.
Yeah.
Like, you say, oh, I've got Edith with me. It's like an old lady. She's got something bad with her knee and she's like pointing to her head. That makes sense to anyone. And with that, people put their hands up.
And then they go more into it. And then they're like, you can see that person getting the readings like, oh no, they weren't into, like, you know, they weren't a Bay City Rollers fan, but I'll just say yes because it's really awkward now. Like something like that. Does that make sense? They just keep going with it because they're like, oh, I'm here now. And that reader knows you're not gonna, like, you know, shut it down. But that happens a lot with readings. Like, I've been to some really uncomfortable readings and I'm just like, that doesn't mean anything to me, like, keep going. But a lot of people I know will just kind of sit there and go, okay, you know, and they'll just keep going with it. It's fascinating.
I like sort of want to ask you about the circle. What was the circle that you was in? Because like you mentioned it and I didn't even ask what it is. I'm just imagining the circle.
So one of my best mates, Mary, she's sort of seen a lot of stuff and she just took me along to it, because I'd always shown a fascination. When I moved down to where I live, she dragged me along to a meeting. She didn't drag me along, I was desperate to go. And basically this like, he's really famous psychic actually now. He does a lot of work with magazines and things like that. He ran it, and it was a focus on so a lot of it is kind of meditation, and obviously that's tapping into your third eye, and so obviously that opens you up from that perspective, because you're already going into it like, I'm gonna open myself up to seeing things. So you have the meditation, and then you'd work on like tarot readings or oracle cards or like sort of rooms like
my
sound
going again a bit.
I think I've got a new laptop and it's not as good as all my head. So I'm not sure by that. Better?
No.
No.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I've literally got a new laptop and it's definitely not doing this thing. The rest of it would just really be giving readings for each other. But
it's gone again.
Oh, I really don't know what's going on with it. Sorry.
Are you moving the microphone or anything?
Yeah, but it might just be the...
That's it, there.
Better.
Yeah, that's
I think I need to use my old laptop. I don't know what is going on. That's really disappointing. But yeah, and then we do other stuff like the Ouija board and table tipping. And yeah, that was kind of a weekly thing for me for a while.
Oh, cool. So what's the scariest thing that's ever happened to you? Paralyzed or paranormal?
Scariest thing. I don't know if scary so much. I've been pretty blessed, I think, because I've got a lot of family that's seen a lot of stuff. And I just think I've put out there that I don't know that I want to see anything really scary. I've always been quite honest about that, but I've not really wanted to. I think the only thing I've ever seen was really like the just Ouija boards doing nut stuff, glasses moving around. I've never actually seen a physical ghost, like never. So that's a real disappointment for me. But I think really what the only thing that really happened to me was when around the time of being in the circle, like loads of weird shit happened for me at home. I remember coming into my bedroom and seeing a piece of paper balancing on its side. And that's the weirdest thing I can't even explain. Like, it sounds so innocent, but it was fucking off. Like, I had written this piece of paper out, and I can't remember what I'd written out on it, but I think it was because I'm always sort of journaling and writing lists of things I want to manifest and stuff like that. And I left it on the bed, and it was a plain sheet of paper. I opened my bedroom door, and it was sat on a duvet. And how's a piece of paper, a single piece of paper, going to balance? And I walked in the room, and this piece of paper, like A4 paper, was on its side, just hovering. And that was some weird shit.
Sounds very poltergeist.
Yeah, yes. And I just felt like at that whole time of being involved in the circle, I felt like things were following me around. We lived in a brand new house. Like, it wasn't built on any like Indian burial grounds or anything like that. Very poltergeist. There was none of that pet cemetery business going on, but there was so much going on. Like, but at the same time as well, I was in a really rocky relationship, so I'm also like, was that the energy of me and my ex-partner, like where it was so heightened and, you know, angry and stuff like that. But we used to have a lot of stuff happening in that house, like things moving up and down stairs. I'd always feel like something was following me about. I've just got that unnerving feeling. And I've never had that other than that. I've lived in houses that, you know, are ancient and haunted in the sense of my mum and dad have seen stuff, but I've never seen anything. I think everyone else sees stuff and I never see it.
Yeah, you like sort of say about energy, linking to the poltergeist effect, is if you walk into a room with two people, you can often tell if they've had an argument.
Oh, God, yeah. And yeah.
You can't explain why. No one said a word, but you can tell if there's an atmosphere or if
something
bad. Or, like, if you go to a house or a place, you get an uneasy feel about it or you get a good feel about it. So people don't realise that can take... But why do you feel the energy? And like, I think that's what most parapsychologists want to know, is not if it is a dead body. Or a dead body, like a sort of like a dead spirit, or like a spirit, or this or that, or the other, is why do we see it and how do we see it? Because I mean, remember, we see with our brains, not our eyes. So it's so complicated.
I know, and I can never figure it out. And the thing is, I've never seen anything. It's so annoying, because my huge obsession with it. But it's the same like Rob, the guy, you know, who's been on, he's on the Ghost Stories podcast, and he's fascinated, but he's never seen anything. And it's like, you know, we're so open to it, and, you know, you should be like attracting it, but haven't seen anything, or maybe no ability to. Maybe everybody's different levels in their brain of where they're open to it or able to see it, and others just not so much. But then I always think as well, you know, you have different, you have some psychics that will not see something. They can see an image in their brain of a spirit and perhaps a conversation, or they can converse, and then others will see something. I don't know if you've heard, but I'm sure you've heard of that, where people will just pick up on an energy and it will play out in their brain and they'll be able to recall an event and exactly what went down. So I can go, my dad's the same, like me and my dad, we're really receptive to energy. Like, I can go somewhere and I literally know like something's gone down, or I've always, when I was younger, I really struggled with that, just energy, reading and soaking up other people's energy. So I always think that's probably a bit more me in terms of like the paranormal, like sensing stuff.
I do believe people can sense things, and I believe if people touch an object, they can maybe sense, like, it's that psychometry where I'm like, yeah, they can touch an object and like they can get, I mean, I do believe in that, because I think, yeah, that's more realistic than the dead coming to say hello and like things like that. But what's your take on UFOs? I know it's completely,
I've really got into all of this, like, honestly. They're definitely out there. Like, there's no way it's just us. There's no way.
No.
I just think they're like a more higher being, and we are the gimps that they're observing.
Gimps. Lovely.
That's my belief on it. Yeah, that they are so much more advanced and ahead of us, and we are, yeah, like being observed. And you know what, I watched I had this mad period last Christmas actually, and there's that like spiritual channel called Gaia, and there's some amazing programs about different places in the world where they believe that there's kind of UFO sort of stations in the world here, and there's one in France, and it was fascinating. But then it's all the links to our ancient history as well, like it's all tied up. I mean, obviously, if you think about Egypt and the pyramids and all of that linking in, I find that fascinating. I genuinely think that there's some kind of allegiance that we've had with them, and now we're kind of, I don't know, under some serious observation.
There's so much that we could talk about, but we've been talking for over an hour and 6 minutes.
Yeah, I know. It's
great. Yeah, okay. Top three horror films.
Oh, I think you'll disagree with some of these because we spoke about them. They're pretty cheesy. I love The Witch, or is it Witch? The one with the black goat in it.
Black Phillip.
Yeah, that's brilliant. they're pretty cheesy, but they're my favourite. So Witch, also I love The Blair Witch Project because it kind of, I did about that on my show. I think the backstory is fascinating. I know it's not the greatest film, but it was one of the best at that point.
I don't know. It's a good film, Matt.
I think it's because it was that whole genre of not really showing you, it's your imagination again. It's you running away with your imagination. They're not showing you like what you don't
understand. That's the best horror films. Yeah, definitely.
Love that genre. And oh my god, Pet Sematary, the original Stephen King one, because it's just cheesy, and I just remember watching it with one of my first boyfriends, and like the whole Indian burial ground thing, that just has always stuck with me. Yeah, but they're not great, but they're my favourite three that I could watch over and over again.
Well, I say The Exorcist is good for me. The Omen, yeah, is good.
They're good.
Fire in the Sky is a good film. If you've never seen Fire in the Sky, that's like a UFO film. That's good.
Yeah, I think we talked about. Yeah, I think I'm sure I've come across that actually on a podcast I did about the horror movies, but haven't seen that. Yeah, I need to. I'll check it out. But yeah, the Exorcist, amazing, such a good film. And you know, going into the backstories on them, that is so frightening what you actually realise they're based on.
It's brilliant. And did you know a little fact? I've been like watch Stranger Things.
Yeah, I love it. I'm obsessed. And I'm not a sci-fi fan, but I love it.
Well, it's not so much sci-fi because it's based on truth. The first series, yeah, the Montauk experiment.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I looked into that because I think you said about it, and fascinating. I can't believe that was based on. I can actually because of the kind of bits in the universe and stuff. I'm like, I think it's touching on what we've been discussing, but
well, that was the CIA doing like MK Ultra, but like the like apparently the story goes really deep where like the sort of did I'm like sort of open a different dimension, and like they used to kidnap homeless people and push them through to see what would come back like.
Oh, the MK Ultra thing and the link with all the celebrity stuff, you know, like that is just mind blown. Like if you go into the rabbit hole of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then when you get like the really famous, like rappers and stuff that they, you know, like Kanye West and that, where they say that they just go off and be brainwashed again, and when they start playing off, they take playing up, they take them off and give them a bit more treatment.
All this dark arts, that these one eyes and things like that, like you see a lot of the is it Billie Eilish and things like this are doing, like covering the one eye up, and they're doing all the sort of symbolic signs and things like that.
Well, I was I'm like a hip hop fan, like originally, and I was into Aaliyah and Left Eye out of TLC, and I read so much stuff in relation to the hip hop industry and the music industry in general, and you know, that is such a dark hole to research and go into. Yeah, there's definitely something. I definitely think there's someone controlling all of that. And if you sell your soul, you can get it all.
Well,
that's what
Melissa Reed didn't. Have you ever heard of a ninth circle, the ninth satanic circle, before on your travels?
No.
Because apparently the Queen of England is part of that.
Oh, like the lizards and stuff.
Well, in 1964, she went for a picnic.
Right.
With 10 kids in Canada, 12 kids, and 10 kids just disappeared, but two kids, like, sort of Google it.
Oh, my God. Like, sacrifice or something for the Queen.
Well, who knows? But it's just funny with the Jeffrey Epstein thing, Prince Andrew, the Dark Arts and things like this. But 10 kids went missing. Google it, because people think sort of crazy, but Google it. It's sort of like Canada, and like apparently when like the royal family goes to Canada,
they've got Google, serious links with Canada though, like serious.
My
links.
Google's just come up, and I didn't even say hi Google.
They're listening to us. That's why.
They haven't went to Canada, but apparently when they go over there, the missing person things goes up statistically. It goes up when like the royal family go. But I'm not making this up. It is well documented.
So I believe that, because I'm so into that worm. When you go onto some of these forums and you do, like, I know you get loads of nutters, but you get a few people that are, like, have serious links to, you know, like the government, and they'll come on there and they'll give evidence. And then the evidence, some of it you're like, shit, that's deep. Like, actually, I don't know now. Like, genuinely think that could be something in it. But that can blow your mind, of genuinely.
If you Google Queen missing kids Canada, it all comes up. Queen Elizabeth found guilty in missing children's case, whistleblowers. Did the Queen kidnap 10 like children, the Queen and the missing kids? It just goes on and on.
We're going to be dead by this time of next week after this episode.
She killed Princess Diana, apparently. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely that happened, definitely. I think they can do anything they want to do, though, and that's a scary factor.
I mean, even The Guardian's done an article on it, Britain's child migrants, like sort of things like that. Oh, no, wait, there's that different one I'm reading. That could be different.
Oh, I'm going to be all over that. Yeah, I'll check it out.
She's apparently part of the ninth satanic circle or like sort of things like that, and it's just... People won't say yes or no, but I don't know. Look at Prince Philip recently. He looks dead.
Oh, he looks like a lizard already. Yeah,
his lizard skin is showing. Did you know, like, sort of an interesting fact about the Queen is the Queen's got to ask permission to enter the City of London. You know, you've got the big City of London. And then
I've heard this.
Well, I've said that before.
That would be fine.
But she's got to do some sort of ceremony and bow. And where she bows to, it's Temple Bar, isn't it? And that's a massive dragon with wings. And all the boundary is set with, like, dragons with them, like, wings. So the theory is Pindar, who's the big lizard. It's just all very strange, where she's one of the richest, most powerfulest people in the world, probably really up there with the power structure. And she's got to ask permission to go into the City of London. And the City of London, obviously, it's got its own rules. It's not governed by anyone. And that's the financial place of the world.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? For as modern a day that we live in, and, you know, there's still so many superstitions, traditions, so many things linked back to historic, you know, talking like the witchy stuff and so on, is still there, even as modern day as we get and technological. There's still many, so many old beliefs and things going on that we just don't know about or mad.
We're kept in the dark. We're all being listened to on a mobile phone.
Do you know what? I'm going to sound like such an ignorant twat, but I actually don't watch the news and I don't listen to it because, and I get so much abuse for this, because I just feel like, what the hell? Like, you're literally going to get what they're generating for you to watch. So what's the point? Why am I
manipulating you?
Yeah, and and that's the thing, like, my belief, and I'm going to sound like such a weird person, but, you know, if I was alive, like, 200 years ago, I'd probably be perfectly happy, completely unaware of what was going on out there, unless someone rocks up in my town and on a horse and tells me,
yeah,
no, I'm not going to be affected mentally and upset and living in fear and anxiety of what's going on out there, because it's not affecting my immediate life. Therefore, you're happier, you're probably a better person, you're looking after your actual little world and realm, rather than, you know, buying into this whole fear and buying into, like, the masses. And
a lot of people are like that, like, don't watch the news. They like edit and make things out, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted the podcast, which is fully free speech, completely like edited, so it's out there raw. But with the news, they can manipulate it so much, and people are so in that bubble now, is they'll believe it. Oh, that's bad, this is bad. Oh, they say tomatoes is bad for you, we're running out of apples, blah blah blah. It's all a ploy. Climate change, I don't think it's as bad as people say. I mean, I can remember in the 80s when it was the ozone layer and people were banging on. I mean I've been watching, like, Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah,
I love it, it's an awesome show. But, like, Rodney was going on about, we need to save the climate. This was like sort of 1980 on. Nothing's happened since, and people don't know, but the weather records only go back so far, and apparently the sun's got a lot to do with it. The sun goes in a lot of cycles, so, like, if it gives off a flare and it warms up an ocean, that, like, warming of the ocean has a lot to do with the effect. I can't really argue that much because I don't know anything about it, but I find it ironic when people say we should go to electric cars, and especially people should Google and find out how lithium's mined, because 5-year-olds are mining lithium for like $0.48 per hour.
There's always like a financial interest for all of these things that are rolled out. It's power. Coming back to witchy stuff, like, why do you think, you know, I'm not knocking any religion, but that's why we went into the Christian religion, because somebody identified that if you build a church, they will come. We can get people to tithe and put money into it, because there's no money in nature. There's no money in worshipping the green man or whatever, because there's no, what, how are you going to make money out of that? Does that make sense? So we'll make it into a building. We'll get everyone to generate, like, to donate money. Everyone will fall in line. We can then generate people paying taxes. It all streamlines down into one big initiative that is beneficial to the 1% at the top. And then that brings you back to the Illuminati stuff. And then does that, you know, it's all linked, like, all linked to that 1% and how they want to. Don't get me wrong, I don't go off into these, like, tangents most of the time. I'm fairly jolly, but I do believe, like, by not watching the news, not by not falling in line with those, you know, with those things, then you do get to live without being influenced by it, like, financially and politically and so on.
Yeah, do with, like, you going back to the like Illuminati and that, about, like, black and white check floors and things like that. Do like, you think water, the black and white check floors and things like that have got a big impact? Do you think a lot of people believe in, like, symbolism?
Yeah, funnily enough, I mean, symbolism is huge, because obviously with witchcraft, you've got sigils. So people will create their own sigils, which is a symbol of power or whatever you want to use it for. I think symbolism is huge. I'm actually really getting into it at the moment, actually, and I'm talking about it on the next episode. So, yeah, I definitely think with the Illuminati in the eye and everything, it's either to kind of figure out who's on side and who's in with you, or they're used as power symbols that they go back so many generations, don't they? They're such an ancient form of sort of spirituality or power or manifestation. They're literally little spells, some of them.
Yeah. I've just sent you one, like, what that?
Okay.
I've just sent you a message, and we've got a water tower in Grimsby, and that's what's on the top of it. If you want to go on your WhatsApp and have a quick look and see what you think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's just basically, you just basically got a pentagram on the top of your water.
Yeah, it's a six-pointed star, so that's the Star of David, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Oh, my God. That's so crazy.
And that's on top of a water tower, and it's not used anymore. And as far as I can remember, they tried to remove the water tower, but council wouldn't let them.
Wow. Yeah, sorry. That's amazing.
I'm not so far up from that. Like, maybe a five-minute walk is where the Freemasons lodges as well.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. Wow. What alignment would that have with you, though? Because that's obviously more Jewish. Only because I studied Judaism at school and, like, and went out to Israel and stuff. But, yeah.
Well, so if people are interested, I'm just sending messages now. But yeah, what I'll do is I will send you more information on that.
I looked at it and I got really excited thinking you had a pentagram on your water tower. But yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, I think I'm only really going on the sigil side of things, and that's a really interesting side for me. That's another area that, again, I haven't always had an affinity with, but I'm coming around to it now and understanding a bit more about symbolism and power behind it. So it's actually something I'm really studying currently. But yeah, I do think the symbolism is, and it's how we first started out communicating, really, isn't it? Before we could write, and it was generally by symbols.
With like hieroglyphics and things like that.
Yeah, it's so, and then again, that brings you into whenever I think about them, the Egyptians, I always feel there's such a link to, there's no way that some of I think with the Aztecs and the Egyptians, I genuinely think they had a huge link to the to aliens.
Definitely. I mean, don't you think going back to symbolism, but definitely something to do, because all the pyramids are in line with star systems at the start. But don't you think we're going back to symbolism through emojis?
Yeah, but I think
you could send a text to someone with just a group of emojis.
Okay. Yeah.
You could read it as a message.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But I think, the thing is that I'm in the sort of witchy world, so I see a lot more of that anyway. But yeah, I think we are losing the language, we're losing a lot of our language, and everything's abbreviated, and we use all the emojis now. So it's definitely changing in that respect, which is a shame because the English language is pretty amazing.
It is, and it's technology. Technology is everywhere. We go to a cashless society, we're being too reliant on technology. I know it's ironic that I'm speaking to you over Skype and I'm saying that, but it's just a means to an end. But we're relying too much on technology, and we don't want to go to a cashless society at all, because we're all being planted with chips and we don't want that.
Yeah, and my life, I always try to, I love to kind of go back to the old ways, me on a great day is out in my garden picking, I'm probably not doing anything dissimilar from people hundreds of years ago, being out in my garden, tending to my garden, getting my herbs, making my candles, doing all those basic things. But then we've got the complementary side of technology now to embrace things that we want to and communicate. But I still think that we've got too much of an involvement with it, and it's kind of fucking us up. You know, I think we really have to get back to, we're losing so many of the old ways that we just are. I just think it's worrying.
It is. We're too reliant on it. So you should do a podcast on making candles.
Yes, I'm going to, because I'm going to do a YouTube video, actually. Like we were saying, on going to do some of the White Witch workshops with casting and candles and all that good stuff for next year, definitely.
I'm about to ask you, what's your plans for next year? Because, like, you've got a podcast, so tell us what your podcast is and where it is. I will put everything in the description.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's the White Witch. It's the White Witch podcast, and I basically discuss all things witchy. So we talk about, like, the history, we do about different so anything you want to know, like casting spells, altars, like tools that you'll need. We talk about tarot, we talk about supernatural stuff. I'm going to go into crystals, and every week I just kind of bring on a ton of research. And next year I'm going to be getting into some workshops on YouTube. I can't even say who's coming on, but I've got a couple of people coming on next year. Hopefully you're going to come on. I would like you to come on. next year I've got a couple of, like, amazing people in the spiritual side of things that are going to come on to the show. But ultimately, I'm going to be putting together a book with all of the stuff that we cover with my brother, who's an amazing artist. So that is next year's plan.
That's wicked, isn't it? That's really good. Well, thanks for coming on. It's been 1 hour 26
now. Thank you.
That's all right. So I'll put everything in the description. I hope you have a good New Year, because this is New Year's Eve, isn't it?
I know, I can't wait. Yeah, looking forward to doing some little rituals tonight. Yeah.
Oh, I was just about to ask you, are you doing anything good?
Just gonna be doing some ritual stuff, really, trying to, like, go into next year knowing what I want and what I'm putting out there, basically. But that will all be on the next episode as well, like a shameless plug there.
That's wicked. Well, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Rick. Yeah, thank you so much.
That's okay. And no doubt we'll be back together again in the new year sometime.
Definitely. Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, you take care.
Bye.
See you later. Bye. Bye. The Tea Biscuits Podcast.